everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Grey's Academy, your favorite Grey's Anatomy podcast on the whole internet. And it is our pleasure to continue our journey with season 9. I am one of your hosts, Kelsey.
I am one of your hosts, Carmen, and we're all about pleasure here at the Grey's Academy podcast. You've your something. I'm Carmen. It's a beautiful day to save podcast lives.
What time did you wake up this morning?
Early.
You're doing amazing.
And listen, I've not had nearly enough caffeine.
Yeah, I feel that.
Goodness. Yeah, I honestly. So here's the deal, everyone. We're doing something new today. I just watched the episode. I took no notes. We're going to do another reaction video. I felt strongly in my heart that we were going to get some flashbacks today. And boy, did we.
Even though last week you said they definitely won't do that.
No, they did. I knew. No, did I say that?
Yeah, hold on. I have the exact thing that you said.
No, there's no way I said that because I felt so strongly that they would.
Well, you didn't. You felt strongly that they shouldn't, I think.
Well, let me just tell you, there's some things that were revealed in this episode that, boy, am I ready to talk about. So, so I did that. So I have no notes in my hand. I am just free-forming this. I don't even know if I remember what I just watched, but we'll see.
You'll remember as we speak on it, because it is memorable. No, you said it was something like, I don't know where it is now. They're not going to kill Mark and give him the send off and then bring him back next episode and be like, okay, you can come back for just one more episode to give people context.
But they did.
But my question is, as I watch this and also just the way that my memory is, it really like conflates these two episodes, like the season premiere and this episode. I think this would have been a better premiere. It would have been meaner.
Yeah.
To the audience, because you think Mark is going to be okay and then they yank him away from you.
Yeah.
Versus they don't really give you that hope in the premiere, in the actual premiere, that you know he's
I had
down
hope.
And out. I mean, that's true. I guess you did have hope.
I thought he was going to come back and trick us all, actually.
But you don't like see him be fine, which is way more misleading than just like having a belief that he'll wake up.
Also, learning that there is literally something called the surge, which makes you think that everything's going to be okay, and then it just catastrophically becomes not okay.
Yes,
it just sucks. It just sucks butt big time.
So real.
Goodness.
Yeah, so this one is like, it's just mean. It just feels mean to the viewers. It's just mean.
Well, because, okay, they show Mark being okay.
Mm-hmm.
They show Arizona with a leg.
Yeah, and also almost being okay.
Yeah.
And also being really mean to Alex.
Really mean to Alex. And then, let me just tell you, you want to know, can you guess what the worst part of the whole episode is for me? There's a specific scene in this episode that's the worst for me. I hate
When Jackson rolls around the corner with Sophia and they have to crash cart Mark.
Second worst scene in this episode. The first one is when Christina is recounting the story in the bathtub. And she's talking about the animals fighting over Lexi's dead corpse.
Also rude of them to do that to us.
Very rude. So
unkind.
Rude.
Not necessarily. So rude.
God, they didn't show us that.
Yeah. Yeah, I will say that scene, like, someone in Discord had specifically said, like, Carmen is not going to be ready for this bathtub scene, which is, no one really is.
No, that was
but
intense.
But that scene, her performance in that scene is, like, so good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's brutal, but it's meant to be.
Yeah, it's mean, but in, like, a good way.
It's mean in a very artful way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like the White Sox winning the World Series and then never being good ever again. It's it's mean, and it's good. We won.
You got the one and done.
The one.
What year did they win?
2005.
Hey, that's more recent than Tennessee winning the national championship. Do you know how long we've been saying 1998?
Since 1998.
Yep.
All right.
A long time.
It's only 7 years. So basically, the White Sox have, if Tennessee were to win this year, the White Sox have 7 years to get their shit together.
Mm-hmm. But you have the Pope now.
It's true. Chicago. Who knows?
Riding that high.
I have straight been sending to heaven. All my New York friends, the memes. My favorite one is, wow, God really settled the New York versus Chicago debate. I made a joke at work the other day, and I said, hey, guy, I walked in and I said, good news, everyone. Hot dogs are okay on Fridays in Lent now.
No ketchup, though.
No, Chicago style only.
I learned so much about the conclave. I was reading so much this time just because I was very fascinated by it. I was shocked that it only took 4 votes. I really thought it was going to be like at least 5 days of voting.
Mm.
Let me tell you, Bobby, the Pope,
yep,
really was not one of the front runners. Incredible. Incredible come from behind.
Yeah.
Because he's very relatively young for a Pope.
Good. Well, we need Chicago on top as long as we can. Like, this guy needs 40 years at the helm of the Catholic Church.
Well, he's 69. Nice. Yeah, so, you know, it. You're probably looking at least 15 years. And some 15. Popes resign. Some popes die. Some popes resign. So it'll really, we'll just see how it goes.
Give us 20 good years of, like, Chicago zingers. And then I think he could slowly start to lose it a little bit, maybe develop a late onset dementia.
Or
and then
he could just be fine.
Yeah. Or he could be fine just forever. Yeah. Big fan. I told Jess, I was like, do we need to become Catholic again? Like, should we become not again
like,
for her?
I was like, again?
Yeah. I mean, me growing up Catholic, I was like, is this our sign? Is this a sign from the Lord that we've been doing it wrong for the last 16
I sent this
years?
To Michael because his parents are from Illinois originally, mm-hmm, and so they mm-hmm. like the Bears. So I sent mm-hmm. him this delightful thing I saw on the internet. In these trying times, I'm comforted that the new American Pope will be an expert at consoling the grief-stricken after a career of tending to Chicago Bears fans.
So true.
And he is also a White Sox fan.
Yes, so. He is. Confirmed.
Canonically.
You know, there's... So mathematically... Scientifically speaking, the White Sox are the greatest and most beloved team in the world.
They do have it feels like they have a leg up.
Yeah.
But
if they go on a winning streak now,
bad.
Yeah. I'm wearing the new crossover hat. It's the Bulls and the Sox together.
Oh, okay. I was not sure what that was. I thought it was wings, but Red Wings, isn't that
Angel?
Canada?
No, it's the White Sox, but now with Angel Wings because of Da Pope.
Oh yeah, I saw that one. That one made me laugh. Da Pope.
Yeah. Da Pope.
Okay.
If they don't bring back an SNL skit with some of the original characters and include a special guest appearance with Michael Jordan, Bill Murray, and some other some other big Chicago folks.
Yeah.
And do a Da Pope skit. It's a missed opportunity from everything in Saturday Night Live. But Chris Farley's dead. So
I know you guys
that,
come to this podcast specifically to hear our non-Catholic opinions about the newest Pope. but alas, we will migrate back to the grays of it all. This is episode 2 of the 9th season. It is episode 174 overall, and it is called Remember the Time, and that is a song.
Remember the Time is a song by the one and only late great Michael Jackson, although he is still alive, hanging out with Elvis. This was released January 14th, 1992, and it was the second single from the album Dangerous, which was his 8th album. So that's pretty cool. Sometimes I forget how many albums Michael Jackson put out.
He was cranking it out because he started so early.
Absolutely. This song... It did very well. It released and was in the top 100 in Australia, Austria, Belgium, Canada, Denmark, getting some rare love here, Finland, France, Germany, Greece, Ireland, Italy, the Netherlands, New Zealand, Norway, Portugal, Spain, Sweden, Switzerland, the UK, Uruguay.
Everyone liked it.
It reached as high as number 3 on the US Billboard Hot 100. So, yeah, it was beloved worldwide, that Michael Jackson. This song, honestly, though, this song was just okay. I know this song. It's just okay. I'm going to give it, objectively, I think clearly with how well it performed in the charts, I'm going to give it an objective 5, but a subjective 2. Mm. So, not making it into the iTunes library for ya boy. So
do you have a favorite Michael Jackson song?
I think Thriller probably is my favorite.
Yeah, I was going to say. It's a classic.
Thriller's dope. Black or White is a
big
one.
I do like a lot of Jackson 5 songs as well.
Yeah. Will You Be There from the Free Willy soundtrack needs more love, I think, in my opinion. So
I'll be there.
No, not that one.
No, but I know, but that made me think of that one, which I also like.
Okay, I'm like, we're not talking about the same thing.
A completely different song.
Yeah. But yeah, big fan of Michael Jackson.
Musically. Questionable. Musically. Humanly.
Yeah, you know, we've
just
got some
unknowns,
concerns.
Some not the best looks, you know, hard to say.
Yeah. Hanging the baby over the railing was not
that
a great choice.
That was not an unknown. That was a bad one. Yeah. Also, naming a baby blanket was bad.
Yeah.
Anyways, okay. This episode was written by William Harper and directed by Tony Phelan, both of whom we've seen many times before. Aired October 4th, 2012, to 10.84 million views. So still in the tens, like down like a million from last week.
Stupid.
And then the Netflix synopsis is, the doctors try to cope with heartache and injuries caused by the plane crash. Everyone at Seattle Grace struggles to return to normalcy.
Yep.
So there you go.
So let's do a short recap of where Carmen's heart was at during this episode.
Yeah.
As I watched it, so number one, shocked to see Mark was awake. I assumed leading up to this that Mark would have been found at the site and then placed into some sort of medical coma.
Right. So he would have been in a coma the whole time, essentially,
right,
is what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. We see April still there after she's been fired. That actually played with my brain because I had to think really hard. Was she even here last week? And then I thought, she wasn't here. But at the end, Owen goes on the plane to go get her.
Yeah, he gets her with the pigs.
Yeah. So that did play with my brain a little bit. Jackson, speaking from a timeline perspective, his hair seems to grow very quickly. So they didn't like make his hair short one moment and then long the next moment.
Yeah.
It was just long.
Then everyone came back,
Everyone came back, yeah.
Even
so,
though 4 days prior, it was not long.
Correct. But fine, we're not going to, you know, split hairs over that one.
Nice.
And then Arizona had her leg.
Mm-hmm.
Very mean to the people in Idaho.
Very mean to Alex.
Very mean to Alex. And then we have Christina, who we see going in and out of. She doesn't talk at all. To then she is talking. Mm-hmm. To then she's leaving.
Yeah.
So we get a full range of emotion on that front. Is there anything else that I miss? Oh, and then Derek. Derek is like, you can have
the hand.
80%.
Yeah.
We want to go for 100%. Blah, 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 blah. So... And then no sign of Dr. Mr. Feeney in this episode, though.
Yes.
Which, you know.
Or.
Disappointing.
Yeah,
I didn't go back. I didn't go back and listen to that. I don't know why. In hindsight, that was so funny, but I was actually crying. You just did it now. And I'm like, Kelsey, why are you so fucking stupid?
So true. Get some R&R. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so but it shows her leaving for Minnesota, but other than her listening to the voicemail, we don't see anything else in Minnesota.
Right.
And then we get, we get basically everyone's specific flashback kind of about them, and then at the end, it all kind of ties together.
So we also see when they are rescued, I guess they were close-ish to Boise. I didn't do any research. I don't know, like, the landscape of Idaho where they're lost in the woods for so long, but the closest place they are is to Boise. I don't know what Idaho is. So if you're from Idaho, apologies. I guess there's
Idaho
a lot of forest.
Idaho is the big potato one.
Yeah,
lots
no, I know that about the potatoes, but they weren't lost in a potato field. They were lost right. in the woods.
Yeah.
Lost in the woods. So, yeah, they take them to Idaho, Boise, where, like, I guess they were going originally to do the surgery on the conjoined twins.
And do you think anyone in the hospital was like, so are they still able to do the surgery?
So, like, or is someone else going to come? Or, like, should
like
we
the parents.
Like,
imagine
the brakes
those
on
parents.
That one. I'm like, ugh. Yeah. they show Meredith first, and it's like they're helicoptered. Christina says in her speech that she was awake for 4 days. So we're assuming like 4 or 5 days of strandedness in the woods. That's the assumption, like in that general vicinity. So like not a full week, but still too long to be okay.
Yeah, not good.
Like why did it take them so long? That is a full plane that crashed. Even if you were like, you would fly the route that they would have taken, it feels like you would have seen that before 4 days.
Yeah. And this is before Trump's attack on the air traffic controllers. So
right.
you
In
think
theory,
they're probably
they're still like knowing what's going on.
Right.
And
they're
how
still
to find
well staffed.
People.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So also my question to that, and I kind of talked about this on my reaction video I just did, like at what point does the brain have irreparable damage to it because of its awakeness?
Right. And that's kind of what they're showing us with her reactive state slash like when she's like catatonic, basically.
Yeah.
And I think it kind of reminds me of post Gary Clark, when they say Lexi didn't get any sleep and then she has the breakdown and then she goes to the psych ward and sleeps for like 46 straight hours and then she's fine. And they had like a term for it. They were like, she got snowed or something
yeah,
like that.
Something like that.
Wasn't
there a TV show? Was it maybe House, or there was a show? I mean, maybe it was Grey's and I just don't remember it at this point, but where a kid OD'd on Adderall. And
it wasn't Gray's for sure.
I feel like
that
maybe
feels
it was
like a House thing.
Yeah. But he was like fully, he was aware that he OD'd on Adderall, but he was like severely handicapped in his motor functions, his communication, and his brain function because his brain, he didn't sleep for like 4 or 5 days because he couldn't fall asleep because of the overdose. And it did irreparable damage to the brain because there was no sleep recovery, something to that effect.
I do think there would be. I just don't know. Well, also with if you're talking of like a teenager, like before the brain is fully developed, I do think there would be far
yeah,
more damage,
yeah.
especially also too when you add in like
a
stimulant drug that
yeah,
is also
fair.
Affecting the brain. Also, they said they had severe dehydration and exposure.
Mm-hmm.
Christina says she definitely drank pee, maybe drank the plane fuel. Feels. They don't say how long they went without water. They just said that Arizona got the last of the water. So, you know, it's just like not good.
Overall struggling. Overall not well.
Yeah, I'm just going to read what she says to kind of sum up what happened in the woods. Because this is really they don't show it, as we discussed, which I feel is good. They show them getting rescued and that's it. So this is kind of how they catch us up on what happened in the woods. Christina says, I stayed awake for 4 days. I remember every single minute of those 4 days. The fire went out. It was really, really dark. There were so many stars. I remember getting the bugs out of Arizona's leg. I put leaves on it trying to keep them out, and Mark just kept dying. It was so annoying. Incredible. Very still like on brand for her, like to say it was so annoying, even though she's in like this bizarre state. And then she says, I kept trying to help him, but he just kept trying to die on me. I just wanted to lie down and sleep on him because he was warm. And I wanted to sleep. Meredith was asleep. Everyone was asleep. Arizona got the last of the water, and I remember drinking something bad. It might have been the fuel from the plane. I drank my pee. The noises, the animal noises, fighting and growling right next to us, right there. I kept waiting for them to come and kill me, but they didn't. And then I realized they were fighting over Lexi. I tried to keep them off of her. I tried, but I couldn't get out. I can't get out. So.
Woof.
Which you did mention last week. You were like, where's all the wildlife? And I was like, oh, that's a bummer of a question. We'll find out where they are. They're going to show up.
Yep. They are interested in one thing and one thing only. I don't know what wildlife exists in Arizona, but I imagine just like
I don't know.
What did I say?
Arizona.
Oh, no. That's clearly not what I was. Sure, boy. No, Idaho, yes. I'm thinking of our dear Arizona,
whose yes.
sweet, sweet leg is dying. I imagine just like bears and skunks and wolverines and jackals and other yeah. other things.
Let me just say, I just Googled Idaho landscape and the pictures are stunning. So clearly whatever my brain was assuming was wildly incorrect because these are like beautiful mountains, rivers, lakes, forests,
death zones.
I mean, yeah, clearly there is. I mean, I definitely did assume there was large swaths of uninhabited land. I just didn't think it was foresty. I thought it was potato-y, I'm going to be honest. And I didn't imagine Idaho having mountains.
Well,
so I, for some reason in my head, it was very flat. I don't know a lot about the Midwest. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. Outside of Chicago, which I don't know if you've heard the new Pope is from.
I hear it's windy there.
Yeah, it's windy. I don't know much else about. I mean, the Midwest really, outside of Chicago, doesn't really matter. Not a hot take if you're from Chicago.
Actually, a lot of people who disagree with that.
I'm kidding, folks.
Anyway, so it does appear that there is a large amount of forest in Idaho and also just very pretty places. So,
well, once potatoes aren't picked past a certain time, they grow into pine trees.
They become pine trees.
Yeah, in the forest. So those are just really old, late 1700th century potato farms.
Mm. Delightful. Thank you for the education.
Happy to do it.
For sure, correct.
Happy to help. Don't Google it if you don't want me to be wrong.
No, don't look that up. So, yes. So that tracks a little bit more for me. Anyways, so that is how they tell us what happened. Whilst in the woods, the most upsetting part, obviously, is the coyotes or whatever trying to eat Lexi's dead body. That's a bummer.
Also, kudos to Christina. Like, if I'm running up to foxes, coyotes, wolves,
you could probably honey take badgers. A fox. At least one. You could take one fox, maybe.
Okay.
You could at least scare a fox away.
I could scare a fox away in this current state. In 4 days, no sleep, dehydrated. I don't know that I could scare. I'd be like,
You'd be like, eat me. Take me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know that you would do great 4 days without food. I definitely wouldn't.
No.
I get hangry.
Yeah, I could probably, here's the thing, if we're near a lake or a river, if we're mobile, if we're stranded and that's truly it, probably I could figure something out, but I would have to figure it out quickly, because once I've gone a day without eating, I'll be useless.
Yeah.
So it's got to be like acting, like if I'm ever on Survivor, I have to build a house the first 2 hours. I need to build a fishing irrigation system.
Deliver sushi directly to your mouth.
Yes. Go full Gollum and just break their spines of cartilage and eat it raw.
So cute.
Yeah. No, I would cook it. But I love cooked fish. So, but yeah, that's the way that they painted the picture. Kudos to Sandra Oh
for sure
for the way that she articulated that scene. I'm led to believe that that's the first time she spoke. That's how yes, I interpret it.
Okay. I agree, because when Owen, like the way that he reacts when she says, "I can't get out," does make it seem like that is the first verbal communication that she's had, because they say like she's communicating. She's just not talking.
Yeah. I mean, she threw a vase at the window at the interns.
Full support.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I think, yeah, for if you had to say like standout performances of this episode, it would definitely be her and Mark.
Yeah.
Cause him, like the, it's almost like he's putting on a front, like with Richard, he's very like, is this what it is? Like, is this the surge? Am I dying? With everyone else, he's like leaning. He's like, I'm just going to be Mark about it, you know? And he's trying to like protect other people. But with Richard, he's like, well, it's me and you, buddy. This is the end.
This is how it's always been. I'm sad. Two things with Mark. I'm sad. Number one, that he didn't get to see Sophia one last time.
I know, obviously. That I hated that.
It took Jackson 12 hours to go get the baby.
It did seem like a long... Well, Weber got to go in and do a... I was like, April, stop talking to him.
Weber got to go in and do a full will construction with Mark before Jackson even brought down Sophia.
Yeah.
And he was in the elevator. Like, okay. Anyways, TV, whatever. And they didn't really give him any last words. He just kind of breathed himself into the coma.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have seen one last snarky remark. Something.
He had good last words with Callie and Jackson and Derek. But as far as just like actual, like the end, it was just like, this is it.
Yeah.
He did seem to be in a state of acceptance about it.
Yeah.
But again, it felt like he was trying to keep everyone else like safe from knowing about, like, he was like, don't tell Callie, don't tell Derek, they're going into surgery. Like, I don't want them to be worried. Derek needs to get better. Callie's like really great. I don't want, you know, her to be distracted, all this stuff. So.
Yeah. There was also a scene with Weber and Mark where Weber was like going back and reading the choices to him. And mm-hmm. one of them, I think the first one was, do you want to be resuscitated? Like, do you want, and Mark's like, yeah, obviously. Yeah.
He's like, don't go crazy, but like, you know, do something.
But then it like slowly gets, and for a second there, I thought, okay, did Weber lie? Did Weber lie and say Mark didn't want to be brought back or like forge his will? But then like by the time you get to the last question, it's like, do you want any like extreme life saving measures or whatever? And then he's like, no, 30 days, 5 p.m., whatever it was. So that was kind of a roller coaster for me, because I didn't realize that those were two different things on the will form, the DNR.
Mm-hmm.
General
Resuscitate. Yeah. The directive living will, DNR, whatever.
Yeah.
So it's rough. Didn't love. They also show like when they go back from Boise, Meredith just so Owen, Richard, and Miranda are in Boise, kind of like dealing with the aftermath. And when they take them back on an airplane, Meredith tells them to just like sedate everybody. They're like, there's literally no other way that we're going to be on an airplane.
Sedate everybody.
Which makes perfect sense to me. I would be like, yeah, you have to. I'm like absolutely not getting on an airplane 5 minutes after this just happened.
Nope.
Or ever again. Oh, that reminds me. We had multiple people confirm what would occur from Meredith's breakdown from the last episode. So we had our good friend Kelly, who is a flight attendant, tell us, and then we also had one of our Patreon, who's also a flight attendant, basically say the same thing. If a passenger on an airplane was having the kind of like emotional explosion that Meredith was having in the last episode, they would definitely go back to the gate to get her off and potentially call like a medical person to assist, because Kelly's was saying basically, if that's what they're doing on the ground, it's only going to get worse in the air. And then you can't do anything because you're in the air.
Right.
There's just so much less control over the situation. So they would definitely go back to the gate and let her off if that were to occur. So we did get clarification from people who actually know. So thank you both.
Yes. That is very helpful.
So yeah, they sedated them to fly back on the airplane, Miranda says, makes a Lost reference, and Richard's like, I don't know what you're talking about. She's like, watch more TV. Which, canonically, Bailey is a big sci-fi person, so it makes perfect sense that she would watch Lost.
So, she said a tropical island with a polar bear.
Yeah, you gotta watch Lost.
Okay.
There's just no way to explain it to you, other than you just gotta watch it. It is the way that it is.
Yeah, that one.
Do not expect it to be a good time, though.
I mean, this isn't, so.
Yeah. Let's just imagine this for, like, 7 seasons.
Well, this is 20, so.
No, but this, like, these, like, 4 episodes that we've experienced. The plane crash specifically, but for 7 seasons.
Well, spoiler alert for any of you guys out there who haven't watched Lost. I do know that the big guy with the curly hair won the lottery before this happened.
Hurley.
Mm-hmm. I remember that. And apparently that was like a big reveal. So.
Mm-hmm. With the curse numbers, which I will know until the day I die.
What are the curse numbers?
4, 8, 15, 16, 23, 42.
I think there's people out there who just play those numbers and hope that they'll
constantly
win
every week. I made a joke once about, I was like, oh, I'm going to buy a lottery ticket with that. And my dad goes, if those numbers ever actually win the lottery, it will have to be split by like hundreds of people. Because you know hundreds of people are playing those numbers every week.
That's fair. That's a good point. Yeah. Man. Nah, no thank you. I wouldn't want to split that money. All right, let's, I know that this has been very freeform. We probably should come up with a little bit of structure.
It's fine. We're doing amazing.
It's great. Let's take a quick pause to support our audio tariffs overlords. And capitalism and, you know, but it's all good news because China and the U.S. struck a deal or something, so.
Allegedly.
Go get your Qatari jet and we'll be back soon. And we are back. Was there too many jabs thrown into one? I can't. Sometimes
it's fine.
Okay.
We love capitalism. So let's. Okay. Yeah, let's talk more about Mark.
All right.
Because obviously we talked a lot about Mark last episode because that was like a big reveal. Was it like, you know, him dying? So when we first talk, well, he gets there and he's in a coma, basically. Wait, sorry. First, we have to talk about the Julia scene, which you mentioned last week. Where's Julia?
Where was Julia?
She says she came to Boise. And he's like, I don't love you. Goodbye. So that was rough.
I got in a plane crash. I'm just too busy right now.
He's like, I love Lexi, and now she's dead, so we're going to have to break up.
Honestly, though, it makes sense. I feel bad for her, because she's like, Mark, I love you. And he's like, yeah, dude, I love a girl who just got eaten by badgers, so I can't be with you, and I'm about to die.
And goodbye.
Yeah.
So that is why she wasn't there when he died, to answer your question from last week.
Which is great. They broke up. They didn't prolong it. They didn't do the back and forth thing. They didn't do the let's stay together because we both feel bad that you were in a traumatic event. No, they didn't. Mm-hmm. I'm glad, actually.
Yeah. So again, it just begs the question, why put this episode as the second episode? Because you had so many questions at the end of last week that granted were almost all answered, if not all answered in this episode. But why not just put this one first? Because I think this one still has the impact, the same that last week did.
The
only,
probably,
like, quote-unquote reveal of last week was you think Arizona's dead, and then she's alive, and then she has no leg. So it's just, like, in my opinion, the reveal from last week is just that, like, is all Arizona's focused. Or the misdirect, or I guess, and then also that Alex doesn't end up leaving.
Right.
But I just think that this episode would have been just as, if not more impactful, as a premiere.
I don't know that it was more impactful. It would have been just as impactful. I think the writers were like, I envisioned the writer room where they have both these episodes done and they're ready to release them both. And someone's like, it'd be really fucked up if we switched them, right? And everyone's like, you diabolical bastard. Yes, let's do it. And then they're all taking shots of tequila to celebrate everyone's anguish. That's how I envision it.
Sounds, that wouldn't be hard to believe.
I do think, to your point, though, like this, like, if you're watching just from a telling a story perspective, this makes more sense. It should have gone first. Shock factor, keep it the way it is. Storytelling, flip it.
Well, I think if you flip it, you get the shock factor that Mark isn't okay. Because in this one, you think he will be okay.
I guess. But then it doesn't hit as hard when Arizona's just laying in bed.
Yeah.
And she's like, you cut off my leg. I did think, so hold on the topic of Arizona, when she says at one point, promise me you won't let them take my leg. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that's the loophole. Callie's going to take your leg, because she didn't say, promise me you won't take my leg.
Yeah.
So she did promise. She got off on a technicality.
Yeah. Arizona. So Callie and Owen have some bonding in this episode, because Arizona and Christina are both in a very, like, not themselves state. If you had to look at the mentality of everybody, it appears that Meredith and Derek are in the best state of mind. Meredith is not hard for me to follow, because she's just been through just the world's worst life already. So she's just constantly recovering from trauma. So she knows how to do it.
Right.
Derek just seems to have a good outlook. He's truly like, you know what? At the end of the day, you and I both lived, and Zola gets to keep both of her parents, and that's enough. Like, everything else is what it is. Like, if my hand sucks, bummer, at least my kid, like, has her parents. It just seems like a good, like, yes, he's disappointed or frustrated by his hand, which is reasonable, obviously, but he's not going to, like, hang the entire value of, like, his life on it. Which seems like what Arizona is doing with her leg. And I don't want to diminish the fact that, like, losing a limb obviously would be a huge adjustment and, like, is an actually big deal. But if it comes down to one less leg or you're dead, I just feel like it's not, you're not paralyzed. You know, it's not like you're bedbound or anything. It just, to me, I'm like, you have a child and a wife. Like, why do you not think that's worth living for?
Yeah. It's.
Like, obviously, if you have the choice of, like, not having your leg cut off, you would, in theory, like, that sounds better. But then Owen makes the point of, like, if you keep the leg, then the recovery and or, like, the rest of your life is just going to be chronic pain. Is that any better than the alternative?
Yeah. It is interesting to me because, like, okay, let's think about what she would lose. What Arizona would lose. She would lose a leg, but prosthetics, so she could still stand during surgeries.
Mm-hmm.
She could still be super athletic with like running around and doing whatever with her kid. But I guess also we got to keep in mind the position of where the leg was cut too. It's above the knee. Mm-hmm. So like you can't kneel anymore.
I'm not going to say that there wouldn't be like a huge adjustment period and like for obviously sure. So much physical but therapy and like learning. She, yes, exactly. Yeah. Life over limb, right? Like that you would choose to save her life over saving her leg. That's what it comes down to. So it's just, and like, again, if you're going to be so mean to Alex and be like, you have nothing and no one and you're a horrible person, why would this happen to me? Then you need to follow that up by like, I have a wife and child. I need to like live for them.
Yeah.
Like Arizona's really all over the place with this episode and I don't love it. And I'm not like, I probably would also blame Alex. I don't really think it's his fault, but like you instinctively as a human oftentimes look for someone else to blame. I would probably also blame him, but I wouldn't say all those terrible things to him.
Yeah. Saying you have no person, you have no kid.
You're alone. You're a terrible person. That's not like him going to Hopkins doesn't mean make him a terrible person.
No.
That just Alex is something that you're mad about. Like, And I guess we're also supposed to remember that that guy, Nick, died, like, at the same time. So, like, I don't know. That's why she was upset and got on the plane. But I'm like, don't tell him that he's selfish when you made this choice solely to punish him.
Yeah. You know, we didn't see the pilot at all again.
That's true. We did not see Jerry.
Yeah. Poor Jerry. Sitting in heaven with Susan and Dylan. And Henry. He's sitting in heaven with Henry. We need to shout out Henry.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how I forgot about Henry.
I think it's because we see the actor in Scandal, so it doesn't feel like we really lost him.
Yeah.
I'm like, he just went to DC. He had to fake his death in Seattle so he could go be in B613.
Yeah. And then also Moonlight in Scrubs.
Exactly.
As a whale trainer. So, yeah, he works for like a SeaWorld knockoff. They don't use the word SeaWorld. Yeah. But yeah, he trains dolphins and whales. So, yeah, I think all these other characters, I know them from Grey's. So Henry, I don't know from Grey's. So it seems like he died less, you know?
Right. We didn't lose him, the man. We lost him, the Henry.
Him, the Henry. I couldn't, I don't know. Sorry, guys, if this is terrible. I couldn't even tell you what Susan looks like. I don't remember Susan at all. She's a person. Blonde. She's a woman.
And nice.
Lots of sneezes.
Blonde and nice and sneezing up a storm.
Yeah, sneezing in heaven with the Lord.
And so,
all the retired popes.
It's raining.
Uh-oh.
That was the whole...
It was mean to Alex, is what we're trying to say.
Alex does a good job of, like, not kind of retaliating. Like, he just lets her get it out. And then he goes at the end when he thinks he's going to leave and still go to Hopkins. He goes and he's like, I'm sorry this happened to you, and I'm sorry it made you hate me. Which is a bummer because they have a great relationship.
Yeah.
It's just like, if you're going to be like that about the whole situation, then also you should accept the ability to survive. I don't know. It's just like, obviously I've never been in this like sort of trauma, so I'm not trying to say that I would like handle it super well. I just don't love this for Arizona's. Yeah. And then Callie says to Owen later, he's like, that's not my wife. It's like a shell and all the Arizona has been scooped out, which is a weird image for me.
Well, let me tell you, in that moment when she said, that's not my wife, I was like, oh my gosh, did they never get married? And I was like, oh, it's a metaphor. It's not real.
Yeah.
I had an actual crisis in my head. I was like,
we secretly got divorced.
Did they not sign the paper? Was the person in Seattle that married them, like, decided to that they didn't like same-sex marriages after all?
It was Miranda. So no.
How do I not remember this?
Hard to say. So that's a pretty big deal.
That's a big deal. Gosh.
It's all right.
One of my dreams.
You're doing
a lot.
One of my
dreams is to officiate.
Remember this show?
Yeah. And the Titans.
Nice. That's a sad movie.
Is it a sad movie? Why is it a sad movie? They win. They conquer
Gary
racism.
Gary dies. They
Who?
Don't. Gary,
did
the
we
main
watch the
guy.
Same movie?
Oh my god.
The coach?
No. The blonde guy. He gets in the car wreck and then he's paralyzed and then he dies.
Oh, I forgot about that.
And they're all at the funeral.
My gosh. Man. They did the
it's
same
sad.
Thing to Pony Boy.
Left side. What a good movie though. Okay.
That's Ralph Macchio, right?
I don't know.
I think Ponyboy was Ralph Macchio. Definitely wasn't Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise was not in Remember the Titans.
No, I transitioned to The Outsiders.
But Ryan Gosling is.
In
Remember the Titans.
Who's the one with the long hair?
Sunshine.
Sunshine. he didn't die. Sunshine didn't die.
No. Anyways, we're really on it today.
Part of it is I have no notes.
is the trauma.
It's the trauma. It's the animals eating our friends in the woods. That's gonna stick with me forever.
Yeah, well, it should. Many people have mentioned it.
Yeah,
it's upsetting and rude and unnecessary, but probably correct. But why would you tell me that? It's right. mean. To
but
my
Alex, feelings. Alex does bring pineapple pizza for Chunky Stew to Arizona, and that's. I do like that he's the one who was there when she crashes. So like he like was in, ready to help. Okay. He works at. He's on the peds side of things.
Yeah.
How does this man know how to chop off a limb?
Well, I think you have to get, well, first of all, sometimes pediatric patients probably need their bones, their limbs cut off.
It's a good refresher. Yeah, I didn't think about that.
It's a good point.
I just assume they called
children also have limbs is the answer to your question. So it does say on this thing, Alex is the one to amputate Arizona's legs. This is unusual as he is a pediatric surgery fellow, so he normally only operates on children, and despite completing his general surgery residency and passing exams, making him an attending general surgeon as well, not an attending orthopedic surgeon, which grammatically is worded weird, but basically they're saying even if he is also a general surgeon, he's still not an orthopedic surgeon.
Mm.
But I think it might just come down to like a trust thing, and Callie like trusting that Alex is going to like do what she can't do.
It is. So I'm having this moment. Invested. I'm having this realization here in the moment live
in real time.
Yeah. We go from Arizona being so mad at Alex for not being on the plane. Like she's displacing all of her anger to him.
Yes.
To even though Alex was the one who physically does the amputation, she blames Callie. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she says you cut off my leg in the last episode. It's a question of, are we blaming Callie or do we even know? Have we been told who it is? Like, are we protecting other people? Because you know Arizona's going to be mean to whoever it was.
Right.
So is Callie just falling on that sword? Because Arizona's going to be grumpy about it.
Do we think that Callie lies to Arizona and says that she cut it off when it really was Alex?
That's what I'm saying. She's taking the fall for it. Like, is that what you are believing? Or do you just think that Arizona is thinking, well, you made the call, so I'm going to blame you?
I don't know. I guess I could see either way on that one. But that's, I like didn't even think about that because she didn't, went the way that when we see the end of last episode, and she says, you cut off my leg. Mm-hmm. I assumed Callie did the surgery.
Right. Which they probably wouldn't allow because they are married.
So, no, I do think. Okay, no, Callie's not taking the heat, but Callie made the choice. And that's what Arizona's seeing it as.
Okay. So she's blaming her for making the call, is what you're saying.
Yes, okay. Yes.
She's conflating the two things and saying, well, like, you made the call, so you might as well have done the thing.
Yeah. But I didn't even think about that until while we were talking about this, because she's not saying, you let Alex cut off my leg, or you made Alex cut off my leg. It's you cut off my leg.
Yeah.
She would have had to also thought eventually, because she knew that she was in the surgery saving Derek's hand. Right. So, okay, yeah, she's blaming Callie for the choice, not the actual physical action.
Yeah. So they also, you know, lead you to believe Arizona is going to be fine. She's going to be fine. We're going to keep the leg. And then she gets, apparently Septic. This infection does travel to the bone or the blood or wherever and causes her to crash. Alex has to fully intubate her. Like, there's just nothing there. Like, there's no other option. Like, it's literally all because of the leg. Like, clearly they cut off the leg and she's alive.
Yeah.
So clearly it is because of this. And then, like, if you think back again to what we saw in the finale, with like the bone sticking out, coupled with in sitting in the woods like that for 4 to 5 days, coupled with now we got bones and or bugs and leaves and dirt and God knows what else, coupled with malnutrition, dehydration, all that stuff, like
drinking piss.
It feels like an unrealistic expectation for her to think it'll be okay. Yeah. Obviously, Callie is trying everything she can think to try. But again, I'm just circling back to Arizona, like doubling down on like, I can't lose my leg. Like, if it comes down to my leg or my life, just let me die. That's essentially what it feels like she's saying to me. And I just don't understand how you can survive this terrible thing, get home to your wife and child, and then be like, eh, let me go.
Yeah. It is pretty intense, a bit dramatic.
Again, I don't want to like diminish the trauma behind A, the plane crash, and B, losing a limb. Because obviously those things are like insanely traumatic, and like most people aren't ever going to have to deal with those things. But like, right. To me, it just doesn't track. And that's where I get frustrated.
So I have a hard time because if I'm prioritizing, like if I had to choose, right, gun to my head, you're losing a limb. It's going to be leg all day. Take a leg. I want my hands.
Yeah.
But I think, oh man, if it was lose both hands, like at the elbow or die, I'm like.
You have a child.
I know. My God. That's what makes this choice harder. Okay. This is hard.
Feel like it's, I mean, it's again, it's but that's a difficult the problem, transition. Kelsey, it's not a hard choice.
Without the hands, you can't feel.
You can.
Well,
feeling is so much more than just touch.
Maybe.
Put that on a shirt.
Feeling is much
I'm
more
a philosopher.
I, but yeah, I, the worst thing that happens is she can't use her Heelys anymore.
Yeah. I mean, again, I'm like not going to say, oh, it's not a big deal to lose your leg. It is a huge deal. I just don't understand how you can come out of this trauma thinking potentially that you're never going to see your wife and child again and be like, I've survived this, but now please let me die. Especially when it's parallel with Mark actually dying.
Right.
Like, I don't care for the attitude.
Yeah, I don't want it. I don't like any of it. It's all the worst.
And I think also, like, obviously the juxtaposition of, like, the Arizona that we know from before of just being, like, a peppy, happy peds doctor, like, rolling around everywhere and everything. So it is more jarring. Like, the way Christina is unsettling, but, like, because of who she is normally with, like, being, like, dark humor and being just, like, a really blunt person who, like, tells it like it is. What she's saying is horrendous, but it is less out of character. Like, it makes more sense that she would deal with the trauma this way. Versus, like, with Arizona, again, people deal with trauma differently, but it's just, like, such a juxtaposition with her normal personality that it makes it that much harder. And it's just, like, what's happening? Which I'm sure is the point, but whatever.
Yeah. Plane crashes, you know?
Yeah. Luckily I don't, but just this one. So, yeah. Do you have anything else on Arizona? They have the plan. Everything seems to be going well. And then it's not all of a sudden.
No.
She's supposed to have surgery the next day, but she goes into sepsis and shock and codes. And so that's when they have to do the above knee amputation.
The thing that I like about that scene with Alex running into Callie's OR. So also it's important to note that Meredith comes in after Alex leaves and is like, mm-hmm. Yo, dude, like, are you okay? Because yeah. Like, that's my boy. But Alex goes in, gives Callie the news. Callie asks about all the things. So like you see her brain firing, all the things that she would have done as a doctor. And he's mm-hmm. like, yes, I did it. Yes. And there's even one, she asks about the hydrocortisone twice. And he's like, yes, I already told you that. You asked that already.
Yeah.
Woman. So then he goes back in there and she gives him the consent. She takes off the leg, mm-hmm. save my wife, blah, blah, blah. So I like that we, I'm sure the writers had this in intention, but it was showing that everything that Callie would have done, Alex did. So he did the problem solving. He did the, the critical thinking. All the steps have been achieved. It's like we're at the last option. It's death or leg. And I like that they really showed that full thought process.
Yeah. Like she really, you can, like to your point, you can really see her going through everything in her head being like, there has to be another option. There has to be another option. Like I promised her, but then there's not. So.
And you know how I'm like really big on not breaking promises?
Yes.
I'm going to create a physical documentation right now, live in podcast history, that it's, if it's life or death, as long as it's not losing all of my limbs, I think that's it. I think where I draw the line, maybe. Choose life over a limb in that situation. Even if I make Jessica promise or you promise as my wife and then my business partner here. Yeah, I break the promise in that case. You just like don't fucking die. Dying at that point is stupid. And it's just a leg, dude.
Yeah. It just feels like you definitely can't. She's not making any effort to look at the big picture of like her life. Her quality of life is going to be different, but not, I don't necessarily think you could even say it's like lesser. You're going to have obviously like a huge transition period. It's not easy. And people do deal with a lot of residual things from like amputations and getting prosthetics and everything. And, but like just the way she acts is like she is going to essentially be like in a coma or brain dead or something. And that's really, I'm just like, it's not at the same level. And you again have a wife and child.
I think I'm agreed.
Which she also, again, I know I keep saying the same thing, but like when she's being mean to Alex, she uses Callie and Sophia as like a sticking point. So I'm like, don't use them to make someone else feel like shit and then also be like, well, I care about them not enough to try and fight this. I don't know. It's just like, I don't love it. And again, I don't want to like diminish the trauma.
No, no, or absolutely anything, not.
But it's just like not, it doesn't, I don't, it's not the vibe for me.
No, for sure. Anything else you could think of with the Arizona storyline? It looks like, I think the last scene, if I remember correctly, is she's starting to wake up and Callie's at her bedside.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, she's
so sad.
Yeah. And Callie looks afraid.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Because she has to tell her.
She metaphorically chopped off the leg of her metaphorical non-wife.
Right. So she doesn't have to keep the promise because it's not really her wife.
That's, as long as you stop seeing your wife as a real person and more of a shell of a cantaloupe of a or something.
This is a turtle wife.
Yeah, turtle wife. Oh my goodness.
So I did find it interesting that Callie and Owen are in kind of similar positions, as like they weren't on the plane crash and they now have to like be there to support the different ways that their wives are going through this trauma.
You know, Callie really got the short end of the stick in a lot of ways though, because her best friend, the father of her child, and her wife slash mother of her child.
Yep. And then she takes on the role of fixing Derek's hand.
Yeah. Like, can we just recognize Callie? She's in an impossible
situation. She's carrying the weight of the world.
She's, if anyone now deserves a little bit of time off for some therapy, a therapy journey, I think it's
vacation.
Callie. And a vacation to go
and
fishing.
And I mean, I love when Mark's like, Callie doesn't know how good she is. And then he's like, do you ever wish people could see you the way that you see them?
Daggers, dude. Daggers.
Yeah.
I hope there's a scene where Mark, not Mark, he's dead.
Thanks.
I hope there's a scene where Weber tells that to Callie.
Yeah.
like, the last thing on Mark's mind as we were writing his will was you. And, man, did that man love you.
Yeah.
I hope that there's a moment like that where there's... Because Callie's going to need some resolution.
Yeah. Daggers galore.
Yeah.
I will say, talking this through, I do think knowing how Mark's story ends makes everything he says in this episode more impactful.
I agree.
I will say that to the storytelling aspect of it.
Yeah.
But we will talk about that and more in just a few moments after everyone's favorite segment.